I'm your host, Jeff Ragavan, and welcome to Alchemy, the podcast all about building a business on the front lines of the new economy.
Welcome back to this week's episode of Alchemy. Very excited. I've got a great guest today, Lauren Fontaine. She's the co-founder of The Artistry in LA. And Lauren, it's great to have you on the show. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thank you. It's great to be here.
Yes. And for everybody that's tuning in, The Artistry actually has several stores in California. They got four stores right now. And, you know, they offer all sorts of really cool immersive experiences, learning all about cannabis, shopping, art, and of course, being able to buy cannabis. And then they've also have a consumption lounge in LA. So you guys have been very busy. And, you know, Lauren and I talked right before the show, but they're going to be expanding as well beyond their four stores. So, Lauren, why don't you kick us off and talk to us a little bit about, you know, why you and your co-founders started The Artistry and, you know, talk to us a little bit about the mission.
Sure. So we have all been in the cannabis industry for a long time. I got into it in 2009 and some of my partners.
OG.
Yeah. So some of my partners started in 2006 opening dispensaries in LA. So they were in the medical dispensary world, as was I. I'm also an attorney. So I was doing a lot of licensing things for dispensaries, and I had a manufacturing edibles business back in the day. So in 2018, we all joined forces to form The Artistry. And our idea with The Artistry was to come up with something that was really innovative and unique and was an elevated experience within the retail space. Because in LA, the cannabis retail space is pretty saturated. And so there's hundreds of stores. So, you know, it's not like some of the other markets where we were going to be new and different just by virtue of being a dispensary. And so we wanted to create this new brand and specifically to highlight local artists. And we thought that there was this great natural synergy between art and cannabis, because cannabis has been a source of inspiration for artists throughout history, and because people use cannabis as a way to enhance their own perception of the arts. So we formed this new brand, and it was formed for the purpose of applying for a consumption lounge license and a retail license in the city of West Hollywood specifically. They were licensing consumption lounges, which is something that no other Southern California cities were doing at the time. And they wanted a business model that was unique and really tailored to the values of the city of West Hollywood, which is a very creative place. So with all of that in mind, we came up with this brand where we would have artwork on our walls and design our stores to look like art galleries. And then, maybe most importantly, we allow artists to display in the space, and we give them 100% of the sale proceeds. So we function as this venue for artists, and we get a lot of exposure for them through our customers, and we also help them to sell a lot of their artwork.
That's so awesome. I love it. It really is. That's I haven't seen that before, and it's really fascinating. And I think you're also helping so many people at the same time and having all this beauty in your dispensaries, right?
Yeah. I mean, one of the great things about it has been that the stores are really dynamic and eye-catching, because we have artwork on the wall and we switch it out about every 3 months with new exhibits. Mm-hmm. And so it really just adds to the customer experience when they come in the space, because they're surrounded by artwork. You know, it's bright, colorful, and beautiful, and it really adds to their enjoyment when they're shopping.
Now, I know I did read about the fact that you guys actually, you know, you change out a lot of the artists and you do exhibits, and you also bring, you know, a lot of attention around social justice issues. And so have there been any artists or at least some exhibits that you're like, whoa, this one was really amazing. People really enjoyed this and, you know, all of that good stuff.
Yeah. So one that comes to mind just off the top of my head is when we did the exhibit with Gabe Galt, who is a Black LA-based artist that does a lot of portrait work. So we did an exhibit with him right when the Black Lives Matter movement was happening. So I think spring of 2020, when there were the George Floyd protests happening. So he took over our entire West Hollywood space with his art, and it was all prominent minority figures, so historical figures. And it was really powerful because he actually has these very large size pieces. So they were, you know, very much statement pieces, but they were also reflecting this really diverse set of important figures in either people that, you know, maybe were from a few decades past or current figures. And so that was a really breathtaking exhibit. And I think, you know, a real statement for the store. And it also helped us raise funds. We did a charity fundraising effort through that as well. So we were able to donate funds to the Black Lives Matter movement. Mm-hmm. So that was one that was really interesting. And last spring, I believe, in 2021, we did a really interesting exhibit with some Asian American artists. So there was Ken Lee and Ben Kwok, and I believe one other, and this was around the time when there was a lot of attention being given to some racially motivated violence against Asian Americans that was happening in the U.S. And so we wanted to kind of honor the artists in our community that were part of that demographic. And so that was another really cool exhibit. And, you know, I wish I could show you the photos now, but some of that artwork was really powerful.
That's awesome. And I really do love the mission and what you guys are doing. And, you know, I think what's really awesome too is you guys actually opened the Artistry Edibles and Smoking Consumption Lounge, right? For 420 is kind of the first post-pandemic. Well, I guess we can't really call it post-pandemic, but maybe endemic, you know, cannabis consumption lounge in LA. And so talk to us a little bit about, you know, your 420 this year. And the return to these lounges to Southern California. Was this 420 just massive?
Yeah, so it was kind of crazy to open it right before 420. And, you know, that wasn't necessarily our original plan to make it so close to 420, because 420 is kind of its own beast when you're in the industry and always a crazy day just for retail stores. But so it went that we launched it right before 420, which meant that we had a big party at the lounge for 420. And it actually was really exciting and a super fun day. We had a lot of performers come in the space. We did a party with a lot of brand activations, and it was really cool to see people's reactions to the lounge. So, you know, my main goal with the lounge is to make a community destination. So not just a one-off place where maybe it's gimmicky or kind of like a touristy spot where you come and smoke and eat and leave, but a place where there's a lot going on and a lot that promotes local artists. So that means things like the show that we put on for 420. We actually had different seatings, and we had a drag brunch in the morning, and then we had a variety show throughout the day with musicians and a magician and other types of performers.
Fun.
And then we've been having, just starting last week, we're having weekly Thursday night comedy shows in the space. And then we're also doing wellness type classes. So the lounge actually has two floors, and one floor is kind of the main lounge area where it looks like a restaurant style place and there's table service. And then the third floor is our studio space. And so that is a flexible area where we can host classes. So we just started having yoga and sound bath events during the 420 party. We had artists up there doing live painting, and we'll also have painting classes and other types of events on that third floor. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to do a lot, but to do things that are thoughtful and that make sense in conjunction with cannabis consumption.
Awesome. And so from a, you know, obviously from a consumption perspective, and people are there having a good time, do you guys offer food also?
Yeah. So we have food in conjunction with Kitchen 24, which is a very close restaurant to us. Mm-hmm. So we don't have an on-site kitchen. There's rules around having to separate any non-cannabis sales from cannabis product sales. So that means if you're a licensed cannabis business, you cannot actually sell things like food or beverages unless they're edible. And so you have to kind of do these workarounds. So for us, the best option was to have a partner restaurant, but they're very close, which means they have essentially expedited delivery to the space. So you can order food and it gets to you within 20 to 25 minutes. And while you wait, you know, you can consume your cannabis products and hang out. So it's been working really well for us.
I'm sure people get hungry, right? They get the munchies.
Yeah. And there's a pretty good selection of different kinds of options people can order from. So that's how the food aspect works.
That's awesome. And so, you know, I think with consumption lounges, obviously, you know, even having a dispensary and, you know, there's obviously just constant ever-changing, you know, regulations that are fairly complex too, especially licensing. And so, you know, how are you guys really navigating that as there's new regs that come up?
It's hard. Yeah. Is the first response. So I'm an attorney. Yeah. I do a lot of our licensing work. Mm-hmm. That's the not fun part of my job. The fun part is all the arts and programming. So you have to just really stay on top of things because, like you said, the laws are constantly changing and every city has its own set of laws. So the requirements in West Hollywood might be different and are different from what we have to do in our Oxnard store that's coming up, or in the Fresno store, even in our Los Angeles stores. And so, you know, someone has to be constantly monitoring any updates to the regulations, combing through all of the requirements to make sure we're meeting it, whether it's little things like having the right signs up in the store or, you know, the types of products we can sell, packaging rules. So I do that in conjunction with some of the other people on my team. And then, you know, when we're applying for new licenses, that's another whole beast because we have to become experts in the rules and regulations of different municipalities. Mm-hmm. So there's just a lot there to make sure that we're fully compliant. But we, you know, are really serious about that. So we do spend a lot of time and resources on the legal aspect of the business.
I mean, cool and not so cool, right?
Yeah, not cool. But, you know, I used to be an attorney at like corporate law firm before this. So, I mean, this is much better. So I'm glad to at least be doing this type of law and not something else.
So, you know, I think one question that I had for you guys, too, is, you know, you've been doing this now, what'd you say, 2009?
Yeah, that's when I got into it.
Right. And so, I mean, you guys have been doing this for a long time. So we're talking, you know, over a decade of experience, while most people in the industry have had maybe 5 years, 6 years. And most of, I would say, the heavy, you know, tail end has really been kind of like, you know, 2018 to now, right? That's where things really started to accelerate. But, you know, you being in California, your partner being in California, and you guys been in the space for a long time, like, how have you seen the way that people have really changed, not just of their view of cannabis, but how they're also experiencing it, right? California really being, you know, the first and foremost, like the biggest state that has gone legal first. But I'm sure you've seen just an entire world around you shift for the last decade.
Yes, definitely. So much has changed in what seems like not such a long time span. So, you know, when I got into it, it was very much a mom and pop style industry where there was all of these different dispensaries. There weren't chains or brands even. People owned their spots and they had, you know, unbranded flower in big jars and you could just pick a strain and buy it. And yeah, so there was no brands that people knew about or followed. The way that things like edibles were labeled and packaged and tested was totally different and unsophisticated. And now, you know, you go into a shop and it looks like this high-end retail place where you have beautiful packaging and everything is precisely dosed and, you know, the flower is pre-packed and it's a completely different experience, which has opened up the market to, you know, a much broader consumer base because the stores are places where you can come in and feel welcome and feel comfortable, even if you're not someone that's been a cannabis consumer for a long time. Whereas before, I think that a lot of people were intimidated to go into a dispensary because they weren't necessarily the most, you know, welcoming places or the most beautiful places. People didn't know how to get a medical recommendation. But now it's just this other aspect of mainstream culture, at least here in California. And so, you know, it's just another alternative for people with the retail or, you know, with our lounge too. We want it to be a place where, like, I could bring my mom and she'd have fun having lunch there.
Yeah.
Or, you know, you could peek, and we do, we have this great diversity of age within our customer demographic, especially in the West Hollywood store. Mm-hmm. But where, you know, any type of person could really come in and find products that are suitable for them, but also feel like it's a space where they can have a good time and feel comfortable and feel safe. And so that's, you know, been the major change. And so when people see these stores, businesses that are much more professional, I think that makes them feel a lot more accepting of cannabis use. So there's not the stigma of like, I don't know, being unsafe or there's something wrong with using it. Mm-hmm. You know, now it's become this nice premium product that you can get in all different types of iterations and ways to consume it. And so it's really opened up people's minds to cannabis being socially acceptable, and, you know, people can see the health benefits of it and are more overall accepting of cannabis as being something that's okay to use on a regular basis.
Right. I think what you're doing out there is, it's super special, and, you know, it's nice to hear the what you're doing with the artists, and, you know, really looking forward to seeing you guys expand and grow. And I think, you know, there needs to be more, you know, dispensaries out there that are doing what you're doing, right? Really a twist on culture and, you know, creating a really fun environment for people to come and gather and enjoy and experience new things. So, you know, Lauren, I really appreciate you coming on the show and, you know, talking to us about what you guys have been able to do. And yeah, it's nice to have an OG on here.
Yeah, thanks. It's good to be here. I mean, it's fun to see things change and evolve. And I feel lucky to be part of that whole process. And so that's, you know, one of the good things about this industry is nothing ever stays the same. And so there's always something new and exciting happening.
Awesome. Well, we'll keep an eye on you. And Lauren Fontaine, co-founder of The Artistry. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
This episode of the Alchemy Podcast was brought to you by Philo. Thanks for tuning in. And if you enjoyed today's show, don't forget to subscribe and share.